Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
So glad you're here at The Advertising Show. Ray Schillens, Brad Forsythe, welcoming you for another great show as we do each and every week here. And glad you're a regular listener, too, as well. We know that. Lots of folks are. Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production. Jeremy Kent, our European correspondent, coming up here in just a few moments here, has a report on Domino's. The Ann Arbor-based pizza place is a pretty hot product in the United Kingdom. And it's not Chevrolet that's number one. It is indeed Ford that is the number one automotive product in Europe. So we're going to hear about that from Jeremy in just a few minutes. Also have, out of New York this weekend, a special guest. His name is Kevin Dom, the national columnist for Spark Business Magazine and founder of the Awesome Experience International. That's Awesome Experience International. That's TAEinternational.com, a marketing consultancy. He's an Inc. 500 entrepreneur whose sales and marketing techniques resulted more than $1 billion in sales with a 95% pull-through rate. And we also have a book to talk about today. It's a brand new book, and it is called Roar, Get Heard in the Sales and Marketing Jungle, A Good Thing to Do. And hopefully you have a big roar. If you don't, by the end of the interview, we'll hopefully find out how to tell you how to do that as well. So a lot of stuff coming your way today here at The Advertising Show. What do you have there, Bradley?
Well, by the way, before I forget, mention Daniel Turner, because it says with Daniel Turner. That's Kevin's associate with TCG, but apparently not associate, but friend, I guess. He gets a little plug on this book, so apparently he shined Kevin's shoes while Kevin was writing this book. Hey, I want to mention that you're going to be hearing more about this, I'm sure, Ray, but a lawyer for Facebook says she is unsure whether company founder Mark Zuckerberg signed a contract that purportedly entitles a New York man to 84% of the world's biggest social networking service. Paul Segalia claims to is entitled of ownership of most of Facebook. He's hired a lawyer.
Sure.
They've got it in court. And
sure.
It's an interesting deal. I don't know. I mean, if he owns 84% of Facebook, even though Zuckerberg could get by with with 16% of, you know, whatever they're valuing that company at these days. I can't imagine that this guy really has 84%.
No, that's silly.
Yeah.
Come on.
But,
no.
You know, who knows?
You never know. It's probably on a napkin or something like that at a bar.
Right, and a little stain where he bought him a Mai Tai, I guess, his 14th Mai Tai that evening.
Well, if it is, more power to him. If not, get out of the way. There are more important people to deal with here.
Yeah.
You know, long before they had bottled water, and we were drinking bottled water, there was one brand around that that people drank. You know, it's not the Pellegrinos. I'm talking about the Perrier's. Perrier's have been around for decades and longer. And what they've done now is done something with Ogilvy and Mather, Paris, that is. They have tapped an American burlesque star. You might know her, Brad. Dita Von Teese.
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Used
okay.
To date. Yeah.
In college, yeah, out of St. Louis. That according to Perrier, contains, they've got a new website that is age-restricted, interactive website that, according to Perrier, contains scenes that young viewers may find disturbing and or titillating. whichever you believe. The site visitors can enter the Perrier Mansion, follow Von Teese through different rooms, each featuring a different burlesque-themed game. So what makes it risque, they say? Among other things, users can make Von Teese do what they command, and I'll leave that to your imagination. She also does a striptease, and you can take Polaroids of her, and that's kind of weird. So there you go, Perrier. Perrier, Ogilvy, Mather, Paris. Wonder how long it took him to come up with that idea. Man, let's
how
do
many
this.
Drinks?
Exactly. Yeah. Perrier with a little vodka, possibly. But,
hey, well, you know, real quickly, Old Spice, you'll be hearing more about this as well. Old Spice guy did a little viral, and several viral videos that were posted on YouTube, several hundreds of thousands of hits as a result. They basically took this character that they've been using in the Old Spice TV spots and put him into more of a, I don't know, a reaction to what people were asking for him to do through Twitter. It was really an interesting usage of social media. Again, Google it. You'll be reading about it and hearing about it, I'm sure, more throughout the trades. But it's a hell of an idea for Old Spice. I don't know if they're making any money or selling any more Old Spice product, but it was a great idea.
Yeah, but the bottom line is we haven't talked a single thing about a traditional radio or television commercial or any other type of media. And we're talking about a whole bunch of stuff, aren't we, between Perrier and Old Spice. I think it's a great idea. And what else could they do? Bring back the jingle? That won't work. So we have to applaud them. I think that's grand. And Old Spice,
unless they decide to start targeting the 80-plus crowd that, you know, your father and my father, they're, you know, Old Spice.
I thanks, but no thanks. I have some other stuff that I wear here, basically. Here in the Texas area where I am located, BP is still basically the center of, you know, the controversy and doing what they can do to try and figure out what to do about this well. But apparently, even though, and every time I see one of these commercials, I get angry because, you know, please don't talk to me until you come back when you get it fixed and then just apologize again, if you don't mind. But basically, they're saying that the BP remains a target of ire. And despite all of the stuff that they try to do to fix things. The good news, it was really kind of cool to see that they finally got a cap on that doggone well. And, yeah, you know, it has stopped. They had a dirigible flying over the Gulf trying to find oil slicks and such. And they are doing some things here. But it's quite interesting that a lot of people are really angry at BP. And I wonder why. The sad part of it is, you know, the sad part of it is, Brad, that some of these folks in Louisiana and Mississippi and the Panhandle and such, you know, I mean, some of these people are so upset and so distraught. And one guy took his life. I mean, yeah, holy cow. That's really, really sad. So any amount of apologizing is not going to take that away or help that situation. But hopefully it will get better, and pray for the fact that the cap will hold. Okay? We have Jeremy Kent right now here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Let's listen.
Hi, and welcome to London and the European News Desk. I'm Jeremy Kent. This week, social media gives Domino's a larger piece of the pie. We're tuning into the radio on our smartphones, and Ford is the UK's favourite car brand. Domino's Pizza has reported a surge in pre-tax profits to $26.5 million, a leap of 29%, which the company has attributed to an association with Foursquare and social media. In May, Domino's launched a UK initiative encouraging consumers to check in at its outlets. This was supported by a wider social media campaign, the company's Superfans program, and affiliate marketing. It's been a winning combination that has driven pizza sales and raised customer loyalty. Building on that success, Domino's is preparing for another major marketing drive to support the launch of its new lunchtime sandwich menu. We'll let you know how it goes. Radar is the UK authority for radio listening figures, and it conducts a twice-yearly measurement of internet-delivered audio services. The latest survey shows that 20% of smartphone users have downloaded a radio app, and that 53% of them listen to the radio on their phones at least once a week. The survey also revealed that around 16 million Britons have listened to the radio via the internet at some point, and that 15% of the adult population has downloaded a podcast. Of those who had downloaded a podcast, 75% claimed that listening to podcasts had not changed their live radio listening habits, and 36% said they now listen to new radio programs that they hadn't done previously. Ford has long been the UK's favourite car manufacturer, regularly outselling rivals in key volume categories. Now, a new study from Giro HSR called Brandconomics has taken a new approach to measuring brand power by creating a level playing field that removes product differentiation and cost leadership. In a recent survey conducted in association with YouGov, consumers were asked to choose their favourite mid-range car mark, regardless of factors such as engine size and performance. Ford was the number one brand with 26% of the vote. Ford is also the preference for men and the number one choice for 35 to 44-year-olds. GM's UK brand, Vauxhall, came second with 17% of the vote, and Peugeot came in third with 10%. This is a fiercely competitive market, and consumers carefully research and consider their car purchase. A strong brand can be the difference between getting onto the consumer's preference list and not even getting a look in for the next 3 to 5 years. This is Jeremy Kent at the European News Desk for The Advertising Show.
Thank you, Jeremy Kent, on The Advertising Show. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. As we promised, out of New York this weekend, it is Kevin Tom. Kevin is a graduate of the MIT Entrepreneurial Executive Leadership Program, former board member of the Entrepreneurs Organization. Find out more, obviously, you read his blog as well. But what we're talking about today is a brand new book that is out, and even the title is well worth investigating here. It's called Roar, Get Heard in the Sales and Marketing Jungle. And out of New York, we want to welcome Kevin to The Advertising Show. Kevin, it's good to have you here.
Good to be here, both of you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Let's jump into the book real quickly here, Kevin, and chat a little bit about that. Early on in your book, you talk about the importance of the value proposition, and since the majority of our audience are marketing and advertising professionals, we're going to work from the assumption that everybody understands what a value prop is and the importance of differentiating your value prop from your competition, which takes me to the fable approach that you decided to take when writing Roar. And I thought it was rather unusual, rather than the more straightforward how-to approach we see most business authors take. The fable approach was certainly novel, and I'm curious, Kevin, is this an example of you taking your own advice, differentiating yourself? Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I write a column called Pursuing the Awesome Experience, and I define the awesome experience as the convergence of need, entertainment, and the unexpected. And so when I put any product together for my own company, it's important to me that not only do I serve the need of the education process, but it has to be entertaining, and there has to be some aha moments in there. And I think that's one of the problems I see in the marketing and advertising world today is, you know, I see a lot of marketers out there, and their websites are boring, and the information they put out about themselves is terrible, and they don't follow their own advice. They don't actually do their own work, and I think today in today's economy, those people are starting to fall away. You have to be able to demonstrate with your own material that you're capable of making things compelling and making things interesting. And I would disagree just a little bit on the issue of value proposition. You know, there's a lot of terms in the advertising and marketing world that are used in a variety of different ways. So, you know, some people think a value proposition is a single line. Some think it's your brand promise. I've come up with a particular approach to a value proposition here and defined it accordingly so that people can take it and use it and tell their customers what's compelling about them to be able to get them to come to them.
I found it interesting, Kevin, that you developed a new marketing model that segments buyers into four different categories. Let's go through the defining traits of each of these, beginning with what you call the wise buyer.
Sure. Before we do that, I think it's good to bring some context to that. I mean, the value proposition does a good job of saying, here's what you need to say overall in order to be compelling, and starts with the aspect of empathy, which is lost today in today's business world. Once you understand, though, how to attract those buyers, now you have to deal with the different kinds of buyers and say the different types of things. What we actually identified was that these four buyers, they're not actually new, that they're actually archetypal and have been around for 3,500 years. I mean, they've been around forever, but they were identified 3,500 years ago in a process that's actually the Passover Seder, the Jewish Passover Seder. And the way that we've taught the story of Exodus for the last 3,500 years is to teach it to the wise buyer, the wicked buyer, the simple buyer, and the buyer unable to ask. And we modified those slightly to wise, cynical, simple, and disinterested.
You know, those are interesting concepts. How did you come up with segmenting these buyers into four categories? What was the inspiration for this?
Well, I had worked with the fact that there were multiple buyers and was trying to figure out what they were. I happen to be a a big fan of the Passover Seder. It's my favorite holiday. And really just kind of was looking for, again, along the same lines, I was doing a speech trying to make it entertaining and trying to make an aha moment, and came up with that concept, and it worked. And I tested it with a couple hundred of entrepreneurs and sales managers, and we've not been able to find anyone that doesn't fit into one of those four categories. And then we developed a methodology to work with them, or identified it, which was actually ROAR. It's an acronym for recognize who you're dealing with, observe from their perspective, so there's that empathy aspect I'm talking about, acknowledge who they are, and then resolve their needs. And, you know, they're very recognizable. The wise buyer, which you asked about, you know, this is the buyer that we see that comes in. They've done all their homework, but still they have tons of questions, because it's not that they're looking for answers. They have an insatiable need to know. They're looking to not make a decision based on ignorance or emotion. They want to feel like they've gotten as much information as possible. And the way to appease that buyer is not just to throw answers at them, because you probably won't be able to come up with all the answers anyway, but moreover, to help them understand that you're going to be their guide. You're going to be there to get them whatever answers are necessary. And it's okay with that buyer to say, I don't know. I don't know how to help you, but I'll help you find whatever answers are available until you're comfortable enough to move forward.
Love the empathy attitude as far as that goes, and it seems that most businesses get it backwards instead of R-O-A-R, it's R-A-O-R, completely, totally backwards, huh?
Yeah, they have a tendency, businesses, when they go out, and then really this is the result of the last 20 years, when it was easy to just do business by putting a message out there. People, you know, go out there and they just say, well, this is who I am and this is what I do. And this is typical whether you're doing an elevator pitch, whether you're doing an advertisement, whether you're doing, any sort of media or communication out there. And, you know, I go into a speech and I have people do their elevator pitch that way. And then, you know, I ask them, how many of you heard, you know, somebody saying, hey, this is what I do and this is who we are? And then I ask them to raise their hands if anybody who was listening actually cared. And instead, what we do is start with that pain. You know, what is the pain that you're actually trying to solve? And because that's what's going to connect. People today have a tremendous amount of pain. They don't want to spend money that is going to look foolish or feel foolish or ultimately be foolish down the line. So in order for them to actually move forward and buy in today's environment, you have to identify a pain for them that's greater than the one of spending money that they shouldn't have spent. And that's a big task. So you have to start with that empathy and the pain that you're solving in order to attract those buyers that are truly going to buy.
That makes a lot of sense too, yes.
You know, going back to the cynical buyer for a moment, you say that the cynical buyer, once converted, can become the most loyal of all buyers. And you go on to say the more the cynical buyer puts up a fight, the more interested he is. I think most people would feel that this, you know, the more resistance that one is playing out during the selling process, the greater likelihood they'll not buy. Talk a little bit about that, Kevin.
Sure. The cynical buyer is my favorite buyer. The cynical buyer's approach is that ultimately what happened was they were taken advantage of at some point in this particular type of transaction. So, because not everybody is every buyer all the time, right? It depends on what your particular experiences are. If it's a high-stakes scenario, you might be a wise buyer. If it's something that you bought before and had a bad experience, that's what's going to make you cynical. And so when you come into that environment as the cynical buyer, you're just looking to make sure you're not going to take advantage again. Truthfully, if you weren't interested, you would just disengage completely and you wouldn't be a buyer at all. So if you're in there and you're experiencing that difficulty of, gee, I really want to buy this, but I'm afraid I'm going to be taken advantage of, you're game and you're ready to go. Now, as the person who's selling to you, if I acknowledge that fear and I'm able to open up the kimono, so to speak, give you some information that makes you feel comfortable that you can trust me, and I build that trust, now you're going to be incredibly loyal to me, because you're going to believe that if you go somewhere else, you're going to be taken advantage of. And in my experience over the years, I've found that my most cynical buyers, that I can overcome their objections, I can make them trust me, they are not only the ones who will come back to me and pay a higher price, but they'll also refer me other people, because their trust level, once you've broken through that, is so high.
The author of ROAR, Get Hurt in the Sales Marketing Jungle, is Kevin Dom, and he is with us this weekend out of New York, and we're going to continue our conversation. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Stay right here.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Hi, partner! Reese!
Hi, fellas!
Roy Rogers!
See, that's a pretty tricky hat, isn't it?
Welcome back on the Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. The last segment alluded to the fact that Kevin was wearing a kimono, and he would open it to show us more, and we'd prefer that you keep your kimono on. Okay, Kevin, thank you very much. Kevin is the author of Roar, Get Heard in the Sales and Marketing Jungle. AwesomeRoar.com is the website. And that other guy who kind of helped out with the book, what is his name, Kevin?
Dan Turner. Okay. And Dan has a degree in creative writing from Rutgers and was able to help with characterization and backstory, since the book is a parable that takes place in New York, takes place in kosher restaurants all around New York, real food and real restaurants. It's a lot of fun.
And did you guys research this together or what?
We did. We actually researched it online. We knew we wanted to tell a story because people do absorb better through stories. And although in the back of the book we've given you a very clear summary and implementation, we've given very clear information on how to create a compelling value proposition and work with the four buyers. And it's funny you talk about the kimono. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. When we did the book deal with Wiley, I committed to making this a New York Times bestseller, and I spent a lot of time opening my shirt because I actually tattooed New York Times bestseller on my chest backwards so I could see it in the mirror every morning. And it's been quite the conversation. You can actually see it on the website.
Okay.
Would this be a good time to mention the other tattoo on your left cheek of your buttocks?
No, I don't think so. We'll pass on that one. Okay, we don't care what's on there. Okay, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. You know, you mentioned the research and the New York restaurants. And interestingly enough, in the back of your book, you have a list of those restaurants and a little recap of what it's all about in those restaurants. You even go so far as to offer the phone number. I'm curious. Two questions. One, do they have a sandwich at any of those restaurants named after you? Number two, are you still buying? Do you have to pay?
Well, we were comped after we had written the book because we had actually done the research on the internet and gone. They were nice enough to comp us quite a bit. They do have they do not have a sandwich named after me yet. But we'll see what happens when we move from being an Amazon number one bestseller to being a New York Times bestseller.
This is worth something, but I could just hear him come back with, you know, my margins are too slim. I can't give you this stuff. I give it to you for half price. Buy one, get one free, pal. Okay,
it's entirely possible. Yeah. But we've put some bonuses in the book as well. In the first print run, we actually put a special chapter, a bonus chapter, and a webinar coupon on how to use this for your own personal benefit instead of just for companies. And you know, that's part of, again, practicing what we preach, right? That's creating urgency in the market, right? It's only in the first print run. There's only a few thousand left, and we wanted to create something special for those first early adopters. And that's been very successful. It's helped to move the book off the shelves.
Should have packaged the book in wax paper. Would have been really cool.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
So on a more serious note, Kevin, you're quoted as saying communication is key. Everyone in a company needs to understand what they're selling and to whom. You know, I think that statement itself is one of the most overlooked yet simple ideas so many companies just don't get. They fail to let the rank and file, the people that are in the trenches, so to speak, understand what they're selling and to whom. Why do you think so many companies these days still overlook that, Kevin?
Well, I think, you know, what I've discovered in my work as a consultant is that these companies don't give consistent messaging to their people because they don't have good messaging that's meaningful. So what happens is different people come up with different ideas of what works for them in the sales environment instead of having core messaging at the top. And so, you know, it just runs pervasively. The people, you know, people say what they want to say. And I constantly go into companies and I'll take a flip cam, you know, a little video camera, and I'll walk around from person to person and I'll video what they're saying about the company, and then bring it back to the CEO, who, you know, at that point usually has a heart attack or, you know, his eyes roll back in his head. But I think, you know, the whole idea of this book is to teach people what to say, how to say it, and who to say it to. And at a company level, if you can develop core messaging, a core value proposition, and an understanding of how to say it to the different buyers, then you can make it pervasive and integrated through all of your marketing material, whether it's your website, whether it's your collateral, whether it's advertising, whether it's video. But you have to start with that core messaging. And I think that's why Roar's been successful, is people realize today you can't just say anything, and this is giving them the tool that they can identify what is their empathy, what is the pain they're solving, what is the solution. And probably the most important thing, which companies don't do very well, is actually establish what's their differentiator. I go into rooms of 250 executives and I say, you know, what is it that makes you different than anybody else? And they'll say, oh, well, customer service. Well, I'm not aware of any of their competitors that are out there saying that they have crappy customer service.
Yeah.
I define a differentiator as what your competitors won't do or can't do without great effort or expense.
My favorite is, we're family-owned and operated. We treat you like family. First of all, the mafia is family-owned and operated, and most families treat each other like crap.
I was going to say, I have no desire to be treated like I'm treated by my family, for
exactly.
sure.
Yeah, exactly. Brad?
Well, I was just going to set. I was looking over your list, Kevin, on the differentiators that you're so fed up with, and we all are. They're old, tried and true. You say one is we have great customer service, another is we are very experienced, and another is our clients love us. You know, what are you expected to say here? But the one that was curiously missing from your list is, what happened to we're number one?
Well, only one person gets to say that, and the truth is yeah, why does anybody care? I mean, Avis did a good job of differentiating that sometimes it's better to be number two, right? They did that for years.
Right.
But I don't run into a lot of companies that go out there and say they're number one. They'll say there's a leader in something, which has become, you know, pretty much meaningless.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. If you can't, if it's not something you can hang your hat on that your competitor can't do, it's really not a differentiator. And that's what companies have to work to find. And it takes work. You know, that's the other problem. Everybody wants a quick fix, and there are no quick fixes. When we work with companies, we do a tremendous amount of research to get to the answers of this. We focus on getting the truth. You're not going to find the answers to these questions inside your company. You're not even going to find it with your existing clients, because they've already bought into the things that you're telling them. You really have to go out and explore and find out what people are saying out there about what they want with a particular product, not necessarily about what you're bringing to the table. And it requires a tremendous amount of objectivity.
Special guest today on the Advertising Show is Kevin Dom out of New York. Kevin is the author of Roar, Getting Heard in the Sales and Marketing Jungle. A good concept. And we'll continue with this interview here in just a moment on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Glad you're here. You can find out more about the book by going to awesomeroar.com. Well, why don't you just go get it, okay? You know, Kevin Dom, our special guest, author of Roar, Get Heard in the Sales and Marketing Jungle. I hate the differentiators the companies try to come up with. Usually it's a weak mission statement. Usually it's something that makes absolutely no sense, and I just love what you're kind of uncovering here. And boy, I would love to have many of our clients and a lot of other clients just go get the book and see what's cooking. So great
and
book,
Kevin.
And
they can get it everywhere. It's Barnes & Noble. It's at Amazon. It's at Borders. It's everywhere. So, the fact is that companies got a little fat and happy, so to speak, with the market as good as it was. And now they're struggling, trying to figure out why all the stuff they were doing wasn't working. And at the end of the day, it's about the core messaging. I'm doing a speech right now about social media, and all the social media in the world is, you know, won't do you any good if you don't actually have a compelling message that attracts people to buy in a predisposed way. And that's the key, is to figure out what, if you can identify their pain and give them a solution and tell them why you're best in the world, then they're more likely going to do business with you and do it in an efficient manner.
Very good. Well, let's talk a little bit about social media for a moment, Kevin. It's something we cover and have covered for many years here in the Advertising Show. What's your nuts and bolts advice on how to effectively use social media for marketing one's product or services?
Well, I think people have to recognize that social media, like anything else in marketing, is a tool. I believe that the difference between sales and marketing is sales is what one person or one salesperson does with one customer from, you know, through the whole process: lead generation, assessment, analysis, prescription, and the objection removal and the transaction. Marketing is the application of efficiency tools to scale that process, and that's all social media is. It's an efficiency tool if it's used right. It's not a panacea. It's not going to work for everything. So you've got to figure out which of those social media tools are going to work best for what you're trying to accomplish in your sales process and make sure that your messaging is fully integrated. If you do that, then you can have tremendous results. But we have a tendency, you know, everybody wants to talk about the outliers of, you know, this business that got a ton of stuff done on Twitter or on Facebook, and some were appropriate. They hit the right combination. But not every business needs to do everything in order to make it work. It's the same thing with branding. Branding is a tool that works when your company scales to a certain size and you need to have overall recognition. But if you're a small company in a big fish market, branding isn't necessarily going to get you there over providing a good product that actually has a compelling value to it.
You know, we just have a few minutes left in this segment to wrap up our interview today. You've got an entire chapter dedicated to the awesome experience. And by the way, Ray had that once and he married her. But beside that, I wanted to talk a little bit about the components a company, you say, must master to experience long-term customer growth. You've got three that you mentioned in the book, Kevin.
Yes. So in order to achieve that convergence of need, entertainment, and the unexpected and the awesome experience, the first one is compelling messaging. And that's what Roar is all about. That's the book that lays out exactly how to have compelling messaging. The second piece is intentional marketing. And that means breaking down that sales process that I've just described. And for those people who want to see a full, there's 105 questions in that. If you go to theawesomeexperience.com/100, you can actually look at that entire sales process broken down. And once you've identified it, then you can create intentional, scalable marketing tools to apply to that. And the third one is memorable delivery. Because I can have a great message, and I can be very specific and intentional about what I'm doing, but if I don't create an aha moment, then nobody's going to care. It's not going to matter. And in today's environment, you've got to find a way to stand out and create some way to stick in memory in that customer's mind.
Well, Ray, one final question for Kevin before we send him on his way. Any last thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners with today, Kevin, about your book or what you might have going on, or just some wise advice for 2010?
Sure. The book is available, you know, in all the stores, and you can see videos and examples of how we use that material at theawesomeexperience.com or at awesomeroar.com. The thing that I want to leave people with, you know, I keep hearing all the time, everybody says to me, what's the one thing that you need to walk away with? And I think what people in marketing and advertising need to understand is here's the one thing. It's not just one thing. Marketing is a complex series of structured events integrated to compel people to take action. And so you need to layer as much as you can and take advantage of every opportunity to add to it. That's why people are walking away going, this doesn't work anymore, that doesn't work anymore. It all works if it's structured properly and it's done in a consistent manner. And it starts with having that compelling message, and that's what Roar is all about.
Very good. Great way to wrap up, and best of luck as you sell many of these books. I hope folks go out and get them in by the drove, you know what I mean? Kevin Dom is our author of Roar, Get Heard in the Sales and Marketing Jungle. And Kevin, it's been a pleasure having you here at The Advertising Show.
Pleasure's been mine. Thank you, guys.
On The Advertising Show, Ray and Brad, and more coming up here in just a moment. Stay right here. Thanks again, Kevin Dom, on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. We have encouraged you to buy the book, and for good reason. Love the examples that he gives too as well. It's great. Author of Roar, Get Heard in the Sales and Marketing Jungle. AwesomeRoar.com is the website, or just go to your favorite bookstore and pick it up there too. Clear Channel is trying something new, Brad. Have you heard about this? It's basically called Upfront Media for radio and outdoor ads. And I don't know. Clear Channel, the country's largest radio and outdoor media company, rolling out the first cross-platform Upfront Pitch, planning to visit agencies in Boston, Chicago, L.A., New York the coming weeks to get the sometimes overlooked media platforms more consideration from national advertisers. I can see that about radio, maybe. I don't really see that about billboards, but I guess maybe that's another opportunity for them to try something new, to get a little bit more concrete revenue opportunities over a longer period of time. But upfront for radio and outdoor ads. And, you know, when you're buying, you're usually buying the traditional heritage stations that perform anyway. So give me a discount if I'm going to buy upfront. Big discount. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, that's what the traditional network upfronts, and cable got into that as well, is all about, solidifying or guaranteeing a lower rate than what it will be once you get to the fall period of time. But yet with radio, I think the whole concept's strange. I mean, if you're a media buyer and you want to buy radio in advance, you do that anyway.
Media buyers
have been doing that for years. The smart ones, that they know they're going to buy so many spots on a group of stations, whatever the case may be, they get a discount because they guarantee the rate by buying it early and buying it in bulk. But yet in this case, I don't know. It seems a little far-reaching for Clear Channel to do this.
Who knows? Maybe it's a good thing, maybe not so a good thing.
Yeah, we'll see.
What do you have there?
Hey, well, Ray, I was going to mention, and I want to throw this into a personal issue here as well, which is positive. That's all positive. Propelled by sales of the iPhone and the iPad, Apple earned $3.25 billion in profit on sales of $15.7 billion, its highest quarterly revenue ever. The company, reporting its most recent fiscal quarterly results, says it sold 3.27 million iPads the first full quarter they were on sale and available to the public. That's talk about wonderful news for our uptick and growing economy.
Sure.
I had an experience recently, Ray, with Apple. I'm not going to get into the details, but I'll just say it was my second experience in dealing with an Apple product. And I got to tell you, it's not only a great product, but they've got a great customer service group once you get someone on the phone, and they obviously give them some leverage to handle things. And in both cases, I had some issues that got handled extremely well, and it kept my view of Apple in good standing with regard to the brand. So, for those out there that have customer care, customer service people that handle things, I hope you're giving them some latitude to handle things on a case-by-case basis. Whole Foods started that concept many years ago
by giving
latitude to the cashier, for God's sakes,
to
handle stuff.
Yeah, right, don't there. Have to call a manager when you contest a price. Or the same thing with Zappos, the same thing there. They have they have a budget, I don't know how much it is, but to fix stuff, get it fixed. It's nothing wrong with that. And I wish more folks would understand that concept, too, as well. But it really amazes me. And, we run into lots of different businesses that we do deal with daily in our personal lives and such. And you just see the ones out there that don't get it. And it's like, how are you still in business? Right. How are you still here that you haven't figured out that you got to treat people, a little bit better and have a little bit more compassion and stuff?
Ray, I think in a lot of cases, their competitors don't know that some of their companies that they are competing with are doing such a shoddy job in customer service, or they would make that a huge selling point and shore that up within their own organization. And now we're back to differentiation, which is what Kevin was talking about, a good example. But many times a company competing with another company doesn't know that the other company is doing a poor job of customer service, so they don't know to position themselves in a favorable way when they may be doing a great job of customer service, because they don't shop their competition or look into that kind of thing, which I think could be an oversight.
An oversight, and what will happen is down the road they'll say, we're losing an opportunity for sales from this client and our competition is picking it up. I wonder why. And I've always thought of customer service or the customer compassion or customer care as being more of an internal thing and a personal thing. And I mean, in other words, from an internal standpoint, whether your company, my company, it doesn't matter, do the best job you possibly can. And especially now, people are not spending money like they used to do. And people who are spending money deserve to be made to feel as comfortable as they can about that opportunity and as assured that, your company or my company is the right company to do business with. And that goes without saying for any other business out there. It's time to care a little bit for your customers and take a little bit better care than you have in the past.
They say the economy's coming back, but according to a lot of meters, Harris poll here in one matter says folks are still cutting back. People are still economizing on everything from their coffee to dry cleaning. And that means they're going to go to the businesses and the people who are offering services and products that are doing a better job. Sometimes it's not all about the price. More so, it's about the experience. And that's where these other companies, I think, are losing out that aren't doing a very good job at that. So,
well, I was going to mention your shirt looked a little wrinkled, and maybe you have been cutting back on your dry cleaning bill, but I didn't want to say anything. But since you brought it up,
less starch. Wait, they don't charge for starch. Actually, I like martinizing. Even though I don't know what martinizing is, I really like martinizing.
And it only takes an hour.
Oh, really? Okay.
1 hour martinizing.
Not in mine. A little bit longer. I get martinized twice, I guess. Hope you like the show. We've got Jim Joseph coming up next week, author of The Experience Effect. And we'll talk to Jim and see what's cooking in his world. And we'll relate that back to you here at The Advertising Show. Tell a friend and join us anytime throughout the week or whenever you can. TheAdvertisingShow.com, being powered by Shipple.com, brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets copyrighted production.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.